podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is a View from the Bridge, official podcast of the Belfast Giants for kingdomofthegiants.com. Today's Wednesday, the 24th of October. I actually checked that about 2 minutes, 2 seconds ago. Don't I? The 24th of October, 2018. My name's Patrick Smith. Three games in three nights for the Belfast Giants, two wins and a defeat. That winning streak was snapped at 8, but there was plenty to talk about in events that took place over the weekend in Milton Keynes and at the Spectrum against the Guildford Flames. We're going to come on to that in a second, but let it not be said that we don't take feedback on board. You're used to, in the last couple of weeks, of hearing four voices here, but of course it's dragged the podcast on to, let's say, longer running time. So we took feedback on, and we're going to rotate the three fantastic pundits that we have, and you're going to hear three voices. Unfortunately, one of those voices, unfortunately for you, one of those voices is going to be me. But, you know, one of the members will get a rest week on week. This week, unfortunately, we'll be missing Joel Neal. But don't worry, all those statistical knowledge will be made up in a little part by David McGimsey. How are you?
Not bad. Joel has sent me some spreadsheets through, so good. I should be absolutely fine with any stats that come up during the
show. And also a man who's got a few weekends off from being behind the mic on Belfast Giants TV, so he's just going to watch the games instead. Mr. Simon Kitchen, how are you?
I'm good, Patrick. I would really like to watch the games instead, but unfortunately, Guildford still don't have a webcast, which is a bit of a pain in the butt. But anyway, carry on.
Ah, there you go. It's only 3 minutes or so into the podcast, and that's the first beep. Thanks, sis. yes, Guildford didn't have a webcast, but we've been able to see the games. We'll be able to talk about them. Let's start. We are recording that. I'm going to say, going to be up front at the start. This is Monday. We're recording this. It will go out on Wednesday, so there's going to be a little bit of jiggery-pokery going on, but you'll see that as the show goes on, which means if anything serious happens between now and Wednesday, we're not going to be talking about it. So keep that in mind. Let's start with Friday night's game. The Belfast Giants starting their long road stretch, 10 games before they come back into the SSE Arena for the Continental Cup. And that began with Milton Keynes. Two games, one on Friday, one on Saturday. I'll give you the stats for both. We'll take the both as we normally do, this sort of thing, as one discussion. Milton Keynes won, Belfast Giants 4 on the Friday night. The scoring was opened by Frankie Bevilier in the second period, and that was doubled by David Rutherford. Andreas Veldiks, the former Sheffield Steeler, made it 2-1 early in the third, but then two more goals from the Giants in Jelinas and Rutherford rounded out the scoring at 4-1. In nets, Patrick Killeen for the MK Lightning, 49 saves, 53 shots. The other side, Tyler Beskarwani, who will be joining us later in the show, 27 saves, 28 shots. The referees for that game were Tom Darnell and Stefan Hogarth. And then on to Saturday's game, back in the same venue. Milton Keynes 1, Belfast Giants 5. Scoring was opened by Hunter Bishop getting another goal, and doubled in the first period by Blair Riley. Trevor Moorbeck pinned the Giants back to 2-1, but that was going to be their only goal. Rutherford and Johnner added them with a power play goal for Rutherford, even strength goal for Johnner, made it 3 and 4-1 respectively, before Dustin Johnner got his own power play marker in the third period to make it 5-1. In nets, Killeen with another loss, unfortunately for him, not unfortunately for us, 38 saves from 43 shots. And the other side, Tyler Beskarwani, 20 saves on 21 shots. And your referees that night were Matt Thompson and Matt Rose. Says, I'll start with you on this. Friday, you know, we're talking 9 goals scored, 2 goals conceded, and a pretty professional job for the Giants without them really getting out of second gear.
Yeah, I mean, certainly neither game was a barn burner. You know, you're starting out, you know, actually, do you know what? Milton Keynes come out and put up a pretty good first period, which we expected from them mainly because, you know, they're always pretty good at home. They give Cardiff a tough game last week. They beat Nottingham the week before at home. So, you know, you knew they were going to come out to play. They were short on bodies, which is never easy. You know, we were down a couple of guys ourselves. But, you know, when they had that goal cancelled out for the net being off its moorings, and then 15 seconds later, we go up the other end and Francis Beauvillier literally has an open cage to slot that first goal home. A couple of minutes later, Rudy, you know, he got his first of the weekend on the power play. The power play was great on Friday night, three goals on Saturday night. You know, so it was a professional performance, trying to conserve energy after your 4-1 up on Friday night to go into Saturday and then ultimately into Sunday. You know, I thought it was reasonable enough performance. Thought we could have been more clinical at times. You know, Jelena had a clapper from the blue line. They got a goal in a power play. Rudy picked up a second one. Riley had three apples on the night itself. You know, so it was a professional performance, but I do think they could have gave more. Saturday, if you want me to lead, is that okay? Just lead
straight
into Saturday.
Continue.
You know, Saturday, same thing. You know, we get off the 2-0 lead. They pegged us back a bit as well for the end of the second period. And then there was Rudy got another goal. Jonner got a couple of power play markers as well. So Saturday itself, I didn't see the third period until I got home. And, you know, watching the first two periods stone cold sober and then watching the third period at 2 o'clock in the morning when I'm completely lit was a new experience for me.
I can give you a few tips, mate.
I think you're the king man at that. So it certainly was my eyes open. I had to watch it again on Sunday morning again. Actually, I don't remember finishing it for the third period. But again, you know, 5-1, 4-1, best goal in for both nights. And then we can't not talk about Shudra's hit on Kendall McFaul. You know, I know everybody says he's a young kid and learned the game. Well, you know what? He needed his bag knocked in after that. The big man Besko came out of his cage to have a word with him, and you seen Shooter literally just shrink into, he's supposed to be 6'1". He looked about 5'1" after that. And you know, I remember last year his dad was on Steelers TV ranting and raving after he was hit from allegedly from behind. It was more from the side, but you know, by cons. Brendan Connolly had him last year, and Rod Shooter went off on one, saying he should have got five plus match plus 10-year suspension. You know, at the end of the day, he got 2-game suspension. I think it's well deserved, but you know, he can't make that hit. That's a silly play because he lost them the game on Friday night.
Yeah,
he lost them the game. We scored 2 power play goals in that 5-minute power play. And, you know, their coach went on to say it was a 2-1 game. He must have said 2-1.
I was going to say, did he say that? He said about 100 times.
I think he said 2-1. I think it was, you know, it ended up 4-1, but he talked about 2-1 an awful lot. But, you know, Shooter, he lost that game for them. They were in the game, only one goal down at 2-1. You know, he's going to have to learn from that. I know he's on loan from the Steelers, and he maybe, you know, think he's still going to get a big crowd behind him cheering with a bad hit like that in Steelerland. But, yeah, he felt bad about that, and he obviously missed the next 2 games over the weekend.
You still there, Davey?
Yeah, I feel a bit like a bit of a grocery stick here, sitting here on the Simon Kitchen show. I don't know if you've got it's all been covered already, has it?
I'm playing up here, lads. But let's stick with the Cole Shudra side of it. I'm just going to play it in the background because Cole Shudra did get a 2-game suspension from the Department of Player Safety, and it seems that, you know, a lot of play. Well, we said, well, he was going to play on that Saturday game, and it wasn't going to happen because we knew that if he did play, he was probably going to get into trouble. Dops probably saved him a little bit, Davey.
I don't know. There's still a little honour in the game, and from time to time, people have to answer the bell for what they've done. It has gone out of the game to an extent as well. You can even see from the incidents itself in days gone by, you know, it wasn't the refs that jumped in to save Shudra. It was, you know,
players.
One of his teammates wouldn't let Besko get at him, and our own D-man, as Besko said himself, you know, they were busy concentrating on the game. It gives us, it's one of those when it gives you an opportunity to go and see like 2 points, you know, you can save that for another day. What needs to happen there? You know, we were, I think, 46% on the power play across the weekend. 6 power play goals in 2 games is brilliant. And you don't want to, you know, at that stage, we're 5-minute major with a couple of minutes, you know, 6-7 minutes left in the game or something like that, wasn't there? And, you know, we have the chance to see the game out with the extra man. There's no need for somebody to really get involved at that stage. Thankfully, Kendall was pretty okay, probably a bit stiff from a hit like that, but, you know, not a hit. It was a hit he didn't need to make. It was what I was... Hopefully he'll learn from it.
What got me from it, mate, was the fact that after it, he didn't seem to respond. He should have just like stood there as if, you know, he didn't understand what he'd done wrong.
I think he was almost shocked, the wrong word. I think he realised straight away what a bad hit. I think he had genuine concern straight away that Kendall McFaul was hurt. I think he had probably genuine concern. Oh, cake here. I'm going to get a beat down here.
Yeah.
I think there was a stage of, there's almost rabbit caught in the head, like stage fright, just everything came on top of him at that moment. And he just wasn't really sure what was going on just because of the hit. But, you know, thankfully, as I say, McFaul's been able to get up, big strong boy, and hopefully Shooter learns from, you know, you can't be making those, you just cannot make that hit. When you see the numbers, you know, we were talking at the time when the game was going on. I don't know whether you were watching the game, Paddy, or whether it was me and Sez, I can't remember, but the wee group chat was going on and we're debating what the penalty was going to be. You know, hit from behind, you know, checker from behind. I thought there was a bit of charge in it. You know, it's just a hit he doesn't need to make. But
you got it right, did we?
It was checking from behind, 5+ times.
The referee's got it right.
it was a 5+ game for Cole Shudra. Patrick Killeen got 2 minutes for leaving the crease, and Tyler Bescarani got 2 minutes for roughing in that little break in play, 12 minutes and 10 seconds into the third period. David, to give your own dig at those two games, we spoke with Adam Keefe after Saturday's game, and he, you know, in the post game that you can find on soundcloud.com/AVFTB, and in that he sort of said, you know, that the Milton Keynes Lightning gave the Giants a fair challenge. Was he being kind?
I think he was. It wasn't much of a barn burner across the weekend, like either nights. And it was clinical from the Giants in terms of, it was almost the perfect road performance for, you know, 120 minutes. It wasn't a 2-1 game, in my opinion, the night before. Yes, I know what he's saying. That
he said it was 2-1.
They've got it close. Valdek's with an absolute
score, Panic.
It wasn't 2-1, but it was a 2-1 game, mate.
It was a 2-1 game up until the major.
It turned to 3-1.
Yeah, turned to 3 and then the 4. But, you know, like the goal that Valdek scored, you know, he pops it up where Mama keeps the peanut butter there, right up over Besko's shoulder into the top of the net, pops a water bottle. Beautiful. And at that stage, you're thinking, we've really controlled this game and we have a chance of letting things slip here. But fortunately, we're able to go on to that. And, you know, Kevin Rayne back.
Yes.
Sporting a lovely flow, by the way. And, you know, but I think he showed signs of ring rustiness, but he also showed a good turn of foot. You know, he's been off the ice for a while. Me and Simon talked about this morning, and, you know, maybe missed a few passes, turned the puck over a few times, but also a few times when he turned the puck over, he was able to use that speed that he has to get back into position really quick. So, you know, as he gets the wheels underneath him here, he'll be able to get going. But I thought the two games in terms of spectacles were pretty boring, but in a happy way for a Belfast Giants fan, you know, with nothing spectacular, go in, do the business on the road and just get out of there with a point. Pretty happy with the two performances.
The highlights of that game, or at least Friday's game, are available from Milton Keynes Lightning. You can find them on kingdomofthegiants.com. I think Saturday's game that will follow in due course. They usually come out from both Milton Keynes and Guildford, which we'll deal with now, but they usually come out midweek. Keep an eye on at AVFTB on Twitter, and we'll throw them at you when we see them. And we move on. Belfast Giants went into the Spectrum in Guildford, in Surrey, with that 8-game winning streak. Unfortunately, that was snapped by the Flames, who took the victory 3-2. Bit of a cat and mouse game. The Guildford Flames opened the scoring on the power play. Cruz Riddick scoring 6:19 into the first, and then on the power play himself, Darcy Murphy, an unassisted goal, rounded out the first period. Kelly Ackard On the power play himself, made it 2-1 before that was pegged back by Kyle Bond, who copied Callie Ackward's goal celebration of throwing the stick in the air when he made it 2-2. But it was Ackward who was to have the last laugh, who in the third period on the power play himself was the odd goal in 5. The Giants' streak snapped. Chris Carosi was in goal for the Guildford Flames, 27 saves on 29 shots. Tyler Brescarwani, 3 games and 3 nights, 35 saves from 38 shots. Your two referees of the night were Matt Thompson and Stefan Hogarth. Davey, I'll start with you on this one. Well, Sid said, and said a few times over the last couple of weeks, that Guildford are a dangerous prospect and one of the best teams we've probably faced so far this season. It was going to be a difficult prospect because they were fresh going into this game. It was their only game of the weekend in Belfast, playing 3-3, and so it was told.
I think we talked probably last week or maybe just after the Guildford game on the forum podcast about Ackerid and Reddick and Dunbar and how dangerous they were, and especially on that, you know, on that power play. And we had the two nights in Milton Keynes where we beat off a lot of penalty kills and kept it at 100%. And then we've gone in there, dangerous team, we've given away. For me, it's the annoying little penalties, the slashes, the holdings, the ones that are avoidable, and if you keep giving that power play looks, they're going to damage you. And unfortunately, that's what's ended up happening. You know, you try and go back and take the positives out of the game. You know, Kyle Bond coming up with a goal, as you said, Paddy. You know, the wee celebration for the boys there. You know, for after the Guildford player had done with themselves earlier in the game. But it's just disappointing with 5 minutes to go there. On the third night of a 3-3 away from home, all away from home, you're just a couple of minutes away from overtime and that extra point. It would have made a really good weekend. You know, Kiefer would probably have bit your arm off for 4 points at the start of the season on a 3-3. But, you know, when you're that close to getting that extra point, 5-6 seems so much better than 4-6. But, you know, when you look at the league table, where we were 3 or 4 weeks ago, where we are now, the streak has snapped at 8. Disappointing as well. But, you know, the way the boys dug in for each other there, and they've come up with 2 goals at the Flames, and on another night it gets you the point, but just wasn't to be.
Says, you know, considering that the penalty kill was solid in the 2 games against Milton Keynes, and you can judge them for their standard or whatever, but statistically, you know, the penalty kill was 100% of those 2 games. For all three of Guildford's goals being on the power play to take them the win, how frustrating do you think that is?
Well, again, after you're getting the two Friday and Saturday games and not getting conceded for the power play, and Milton Keynes did have a few looks at it, but you know, Guildford are really good. I mean, these 5 guys played together for the last 2 years now. You know, they move the puck around very well. They create space. And you know, if you look at their first one, Reddick came in, you know, he circled just the top of the circle itself, came in, went top cheese, and you know, basically didn't really get a look at it. Rayner was slightly in his way, and he just didn't get a good enough look itself to, you know, to keep it out of the net. But I said it last week, as you said, Paddy, I think they're a really, really good team. And their power play is good, but their PK is excellent. You know, we managed to get one power play goal on Saturday night, Sunday night. But you know, I think it's only the second game this year we've actually been outshot. You know, and I think that's coming from the fatigue side of things. 3 games in 3 nights. I've been there before. It is tough. It is really tough. It doesn't matter how much energy you think you're conserving from the 2 nights before. You know, it can really, really make a big difference. And as you say, they came out for a full week break. You know, that's 7 full days to recover. They go in and obviously playing at home as well, which is it's a dingy wee rink, and you know, can be very loud in there too. So it's if you'd offered me 14 points from 16 over the last 8 games, 3-4 weeks ago, I'd have bet your arm off. So, you know, it's certainly it's not ideal. Adam was disappointed at it after the game, and he was saying that, you know, he felt they should have got something out of the game. And, you know, we all know that he always gives honest interviews, and he'll be disappointed to say he didn't get at least a point from the Sunday game itself. But I thought we played well. I watched the game back on Sunday night, and I watched a wee bit of it again today. I didn't quite get finishing it. I watched the end of the third period today. But I think he's right. I think we deserve to get something out of the game itself. So disappointing not to keep the streak going. Finishing on 8, you know what? Let's go again. You know, we've got a couple more big games coming up this week again, and I know the boys will be ready to try and light that lamp coming Saturday against Storm.
And here, tell you what, it was a feisty way encounter too. And across the weekend, there was obviously the shooter incident that we've talked about, and there was other bits and pieces going on. Dustin Johnner on Sunday night, I think it's
Evan Ritt giving him a bit of a
face wash, and he just wants to get tucked in. And fair play to Johnner, he didn't have the old gloves, the mitts glued on. He was happy to drop him and get Tor in there, first fighting major as a Belfast Giant. But you know, good to see him standing up for himself. Good to see that the team across the weekend were happy to, you know, get stuck in where they needed to. I think the game could have tipped towards the end on the, I can't remember if it was the Friday night or the Saturday night, the referees just started calling absolutely everything. And, you know, if not for that, maybe the refs actually controlled it quite well. It could have ended up in some fisty cuffs there. I think the ginger Jesus, Johnny Boxall. Boxy gets called for next to nothing, you know, and somebody could call it for fighting.
Yeah, Swindlehurst, there was never a fighting
injury. And neither of them so much as through a glove.
Yep, never a 5 minute each, never.
In anger, so I think a bit of a cop-out from the stripies there. But, you know, a couple of real good performances. I'm going to single out a guy returning to Milton Keynes, Lewis Hook, on Friday and Saturday night.
Yeah.
Number of times he tried to go coast to coast, and he really, really put a lot of effort in. Bit of went around clapping the whole crowd on the Friday night, especially because of the reception that they've given him. He stood up really well in the last few weeks for me. He's earning more and more ice time as he goes along. Obviously, we've got short bench with different boys being out with different knocks. He's getting a wee bit more ice time than maybe he would if he was just rolling that fourth line. But you know, he's stepping up in the roles there during games and doing really well.
As Sid says, you know, the Giants are 8-2 from the last 10. Davy, and what I'm also going into this game, you know, what I found interesting, especially with Tyler Beskarwani, which we've mentioned a few times, I've still not played this.
And what you gonna do?
But we spoke to Paul Dixon a couple of weeks ago when we were playing at the SSE, and he made a big point of the fact that they ran with two important netminders, Carosi in nets for them this time compared to Fullerton, who was in last time. It seems to be something that's working for them.
Yeah, and obviously, as you know, we do the stats on where goals are conceded and stuff, and Fullerton, you know, he concedes his goals in different areas, and that's obviously all goaltenders have their little tendencies. But you know, Carozzi's been very, very good up high, and it was no surprise to see him, you know, plucking pucks earlier like cherries the other night. And I just think that that's something that's going to stand them in really good stead. They've, you know, I know there's been a little argument on Twitter there over who's spending what. Nobody really knows. That's not visible out there.
Standard elite league.
As to who spends what. But, you know, the allegation that Guildford had spent big to compete, as is their right. You know, if you've got the money, spend it. I know you're a big advocate of that.
Yep.
Don't argue about budget. If you've got it, spend it.
Yep.
You know, it's one of those. And you put out the best team that your organisation can put out. And they've certainly... they've spent well, and that's two really, really solid top-end goaltenders. We've talked about their three main guys there and a couple of D-men. As Simon said, they play together now, and that consistency and that gelling, you know, that's really, really important. They've got a really good nucleus there. They don't have great depth. And as the season goes on, we'll see how that translates into their league position. But as far as they go right now, they're fit, they're healthy, they've got good goaltending, they're good at the back. Very good in special teams. That's going to be one thing that it's going to stand in real good stead. You just can't take penalties against this team. But to answer your question on their goal team, very nice dynamic they've got there with the two of them.
Says?
Carosi's a good goalie. Fullerton's, you know, decent, but Carosi's a really good goalie. I liked him last year when he played. I know he didn't play against us 2 weeks ago, Fullerton in Belfast.
I'm sorry to butt in. I was going to say we've had a look at both of them now. It was Fullerton in Belfast, wasn't it?
Yeah, yes. It was Fullerton in Belfast. I thought he did well that night. You know, That was the night it was on Free Sports, and I got to watch a bit more of, and instead of having to follow the play, I got to watch a bit more of it. And
I was going to say, I got to watch the game. You don't watch the game when you're commentating?
I watch the play. I don't watch the rest of it. You know, again, keep my eye on if I was, you know, watching guys who are maybe going to the bench and trying to change up, watching where they're on the power play. You're sort of, you know, shut up, Pally. You can literally just watch it a bit differently instead of concentrate on the puck itself, you cheeky. But the one thing I want to bring up, and I'm hoping Davey's going to rearrange the first goal for Murphy on Saturday night and for the assist, because I think it was well deserved. It was Blair Riley stopped the puck coming out of the zone, come off a skate, went straight on to Murph's stick, and he got the first goal for the chance to tie things up on Sunday night. But Blair Riley in the last 10 games has been outstanding. We had a brief chat about him last week. You know, he's 17 points in the last 10 games. He's on a 10-game scoring streak if he manages to pick up this point from Sunday afternoon. You know, as I said, I don't like mentioning the injuries itself from the start of the season. Adam brought it up and said he did have a concussion from, you know, two games into two training camp. And then he was out for more or less a month. We've had Victoria Silverwood on before. And, you know, the importance of making sure that you're in the right place to come back from a concussion. We obviously made sure that was the case with Riles. Since he's come back, he started to find his feet. But, you know, being talked about and with regards to not being captain material and not being, you know, not being the player he was last year, he was injured last year as well. He still turned up and he still ended up with, Joel's not here, I can't ask him about the points, but it was at least 60. I think it was 66 points last year. Davey might have Joel's stats there, so you can have a good look and let me know if that's correct or not. But, you know, that's more than a point a game than what he played last year. He's on target for, a point a game this year. But, I think he's been outstanding in the last 10 games anyway.
Davey?
What do you want to know, Paddy?
Well, I think Mr. Kitchen teed you up there for statistics regards to Blair Riley.
Here, well, Blair Riley at the weekend passed Daryl Lloyd and in the 19th place all time for the Belfast Giants. You think about the number of players, over 200 players have put on the tail and the Finn McCool on their chest and worn it on their heart. Not very many have got to wear the C. Like Blair Riley has only a handful, less than two handfuls for sure. And, you know, he's up already. And 147 games, 147 snooker. He's up the 19th already in all time, and at well over a point a game for the Belfast Giants. I'd say in the region of 1.1, 1.2 points per game for the Belfast Giants over the course two fighting majors. As someone who came in, who was going to be that hard nosed with a rep for that, he's one of those players that carries himself that he doesn't need to fight. Players don't want to fight him. And that's not really part of the game anymore. You know, if he needs to, he will. Was it Guildford last year he went hats down?
Yeah, he did. He went with Yablosky last year down the corner, right towards the end of the game.
I think Collins was involved in that as well. So, you know, what's that? I'm on 250, you know. So next on the list, the Belfast Datsuk, Chris Higgins sits in 18th. So that's one for Blair Riley to peg off this season. But, you know, a decent season here. You'd see Blair Riley just very, very quickly slip into the all-time top 10 of Belfast Giants in terms of points. And, you know, it wasn't that many weeks ago that, you know, Twitter was full of, is Blair Riley, you know, what have you done for me lately? That's an old hockey thing, you know. What has he done for you lately? Simon's rounded a few stats off there. I've just done the last 7 days before the weekend. 3+3+7, three game winning goals in his previous four games. And at the weekend, he had a handful of points on Friday night, points on Saturday night. And as I say, I've still to go back over the game tape for Sunday to if there's any game changes. And, you know, Simon, I think, texts me on Sunday straight away and says, Blair Riley's owed an assist in that. So, you know, the streak will continue. And so that's a fantastic October he's having. I know I had a bit of a tongue-in-cheek and said about, you know, they may clear some space in his mantelpiece, but I can't see anybody really at the minute challenging that Player of the Month award.
I'm a stat man.
See, That's why, when Joel's not here, you've taken that mantle very well, David. Well done.
Thanks, mate.
The highlights of this game aren't available yet, but keep an eye on kingdomofthegiants.com and at AVFTB on Twitter, and like the Milton Keynes one, we'll throw them your way as soon as they come online. Before we move on to this week's interviews, whatever they may be, we'll talk about that in a second. You can of course, support what we do here by supporting our sponsors and beer52.com. They are the UK's number one craft beer specialist and ordering service. They will deliver beer directly to your door if you're into your craft beers this month. Balkans, beers from Zagreb, Athens, beers from Sofia, some very nice stuff. I think the box that we got this month is already gone. But if you want to get that, the first box is, of course, free, and you can get that at beer52.com/AVFTB. And thanks to them for the support, and to you guys. I know some of the guys have been throwing up pictures of the boxes arriving on Twitter and the like. So thanks to everybody who's supportive of you from the bridge by supporting our sponsors in Beer 52. Right, interviews from training. Today's Monday. Sis is going down to interview the guys on Tuesday. So we don't know who it's going to be, so I'm going to have a guess. Davey, have a guess. Who's the next voice we're going to hear?
Oh, who says going to interview first on Tuesday morning at training? The Bish. No, we did the Bish last week.
We did.
Lewis Hook. Lewis After Hook. Coming off the weekend about Milton Keynes Legging, that's the captain Hook.
And the man who's actually in control of this, who are you going to interview first tomorrow, says?
I actually don't know yet, mate.
Have a guess.
It sort of depends. Have a guess. Well, it's not going to be Lewis Hook, because that means they will be right. I'm going to try and grab a hold of Patrick Dwyer, because I'm led to believe he's going to be on the ice again tomorrow.
Okay, well, let's see.
You also got to grab the man. See, you have to grab the man with the missing chicklets, wee Rudy, after all his goals at the weekend there.
Okay, boss.
Well, let's see. Is it going to be Patrick Dwyer? Is it going to be David Rutherford? Is it going to be Lewis Hook? What voice is it going to be? Let's find out.
Jim, can we chat about the weekend? 3-3 is always tough. Coming out with 4 points, were the guys happy with that? Or do you think you deserve more?
Well, I wouldn't say they're happy with it. You know, we'll take the 4 points, but to lose a game in Guildford, basically on special teams, it's something that as a group we want to make sure we're really good on our special teams, but that's not going to be the difference of us losing the games. We want our special teams to win us games, but definitely not lose it.
The two games against Milton Keynes, you had success about them, with them, 2 weeks ago, and picking up those 4 points there. It wasn't all plain sailing, and obviously that 5-minute major for them at the end of Friday night killed that game off too.
Yeah, that's the situations I was talking about. It's our power play. I can't remember exactly. I think it was either our first or our second power play of the whole game, and for us to take advantage and score 3 goals on it was huge for our confidence on the power play. And when a guy gets hit like that, you want to make sure you bury your team.
The 3-3, as I say, is always tough. You've got two big games this weekend, Manchester and Nottingham, both away again. You're obviously starting out this road trip. It does help build confidence, especially when you're winning, but it also helps build camaraderie as well.
Oh, for sure. This is we're going on a stretch here. I think 10 games on the road in a row. So to get off to a good start, that's exactly what we want to do. And hopefully, next weekend we can keep it going.
Can I ask about your injury situation? What's the latest for yourself?
Just wait and see. It's kind of, I know that's not what anybody wants to hear, but it's coming along. I'm going to be skating this week and see how old and sick feels. So.
Shedzi, how's your injury coming along? Obviously, being about the rink again, and you can see you're getting a bit frustrated not being on the ice with the guys last week and the week before.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It's just taking a little bit longer than, I don't think I really had any timeline, as I said before, but it's taking a little bit longer than we sort of expected, and still having some trouble with the muscles in and around the eye there and with my peripheral vision. So it's a matter of one of those things. We just have to sort of keep trying to rest it and not do too much and make sure it's fully recovered before I can get back on the ice.
you've got to watch quite a bit of hockey, obviously, due to webcast, and unfortunately I'm not on them, so you know, you've had to listen to a few other accents. How do you think the guys did at the weekend? Obviously, two games against Milton Keynes, picking up those 4 points in MK, and then leading on to the Guildford game and the webcast.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously tough when you're playing three games away from home in a row like that on a weekend. And I thought, you know, being down a couple of bodies, the guys did really well. And I managed to watch the first two games and good to get, you know, some more goals and guys clicking and playing well. So, but Guildford's a tough place to play, and they've got a good power play. And from what I heard from the guys, and you know, they had three power play goals. It's always tough to come back from that. And, you know, but we'll be hoping to refocus in practice this week and have a good week going into the big games this weekend.
Where we're sitting in the league right now, compared to just over 2 weeks ago, obviously it's definitely a positive. 8 wins out of the last 9 games. I know there's usually targets set in groups of 5 matches, but I'm sure the guys must be happy picking up 14 out of 16 possible points.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the great little run the guys put together there, and you know, guys are really starting to click offensively, and you could see that and get some confidence. And you know, Besko was playing great in that for that run too. So, you know, it's good to see, and hopefully we can continue that and build on that with some tougher games coming up.
Time for the fan agenda, brought to you by our good friends at Belfast Giants TV. And we're going to start with a man back in Nets, a man who's become very popular in the time he's been with the Giants. And he got a bit irate over the weekend, especially at Milton Keynes. We'll come to that. We're delighted to be joined by Tyler Besker-Owani. How are you, mate?
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Yeah, great, mate, great. Reflection on the weekend, obviously, you know, two great wins in Milton Keynes, and then that 8-game winning streak snapped by Guildford in what was a tight game. What did you think?
Yeah, I think it was a good weekend for everybody. Just the fact to go into Milton Keynes and you know, really dominate there, and then even going into Guildford with having a 3-3, and they hadn't played a game since last Sunday, so they were fresh, and we were a little tired, but I thought we held our own. We were relentless on pucks all game, and I think that game could have gone either way. So it just goes to show that, you know, the guys are showing up for each and every game, whether it's a 3-3, and you know, it doesn't matter the situation or who we're playing against. It's just nice to see. It's a nice atmosphere to be a part of.
When you're on a winning streak like that and you've got 8 games and then you suffer a setback, you know, what's confidence like in the room?
Confidence is high. I think that, like I said, that game against Guildford could have gone either way. No one's heads down after that game. And honestly, I didn't even realize we were on a winning streak. we were just having so much fun. It's literally a game in, game out type of mentality with this team, and so we don't really look forward. It's here in the now type of thing, and one game at a time mentality. So it's to say that we have a setback, no, I don't see that at all. I think we're going to come out next game and you know, just be just as good and have the same mentality in the room and the same mentality leading up to the next game as we have had this past winning streak.
Besko, it's Kitchy here. Your demeanor with regards to playing hockey is something that I haven't seen from a goal time. You always seem so relaxed. I mean, I was watching, there was a part of the game on Friday night on the webcast, and you were sort of dancing in the net while, you know, face-offs are about to take place. And just so relaxed, whereas other goalies are, you know, seems as if they're in the zone. They don't like talking to anybody, and obviously that's, you know, that's your way of doing it. Is that, I mean, obviously from a personal point of view, how do you get so calm and so as if you're, it's no big deal? Because I think it's just fantastic.
Yeah, and you know, I think you hit it hit the nail on the head there. And to me, I'd take it seriously. Don't get me wrong, but I mean, it's a game, right? It's something that every hockey player grew up with a passion and loved playing. And I just, you know, me coming through pro hockey and stuff, I think I didn't have a choice but to take it seriously in the AHL and stuff in North America, but. I mean, out here, it's fun. There's not a whole lot of stress. You know, one of the bigger stresses from North America is, you never know where you're going to be every week, right? You could be called up, sent down, sitting on the bench for 10 games. And out here, it's a lot different where you're here, you're playing, and, you know, you go out and you have fun. It's a fun game, right? And in the end, it is just a game, but it's a job at the same time, I guess. But for me, it's a game.
Best coach, Davey, I'm the numbers guy here, the bit of the stats nerd on this podcast. And sort of since you came back from injury there, you know, your little layoff, you're running about 947. Just getting comfortable into this, settling into the season well. You know, you're better numbers than I could ever have imagined you'd be hoping for.
Yeah, you and I both. I think this is the best start of my career. You know, it's I think it's just coming down to putting the time and effort in and preparing the right way and you know, working hard in the gym every week and working hard on the ice and practices. Obviously, I have a good team in front of me as well that they do block a lot of shots, which is obviously helps me out a lot. But, you know, I'm just making the saves when I have to. And I don't know. It's hard work, I guess, is the key to all of this.
What is, you know, come back to what Sizz was saying there about having that control and having that sort of that relaxed persona on the ice. Let's take you to the first MK game on Friday and that incident with Cole Shudra. We've got a few questions on Twitter about it. Kirsten asking, Rosie asking, you know, what was the breaking point and what did you think?
I had a little bit of a freak out. Well, not a freak out, but I just saw a guy go through one of our guys and it was a dirty hit and the rest of our team was a little more focused on the puck and not really the hit. So I took matters in my own hands and, you know, I let him know how I felt about it. And, I don't know. It, you know, if we're a team, right? If somebody would have ran into me, Kendo would have been the first guy there to, you know, to take him out or to do something, right? So, doesn't matter if just because I'm a goalie doesn't mean that I can't go and have my teammates' backs when something like that does happen. So, you know, I just felt like it was the proper time to do it.
Basically, there's just one coming off Twitter here from Keith Conway. After the three games back-to-back-to-back, do you prepare differently for that? Obviously, you know, I don't know if Adam tells you before the Friday that you're playing all three, and obviously you're a very capable guy. If you are taking a night off and Stephen Murphy, but do you prepare differently for each of those games?
No, I think I prepare the same way. Me and Kiefer we've had chats throughout the week and in the weekend and stuff. I guess 2 weeks ago before we had our six games and eight nights or whatever it was, we sat down and kind of made a game plan on what was going to happen and which games I was going to get into and which games I wasn't. And I told them I wasn't actually supposed to play the second game against Milton Keynes at home. And I just told them, like, I didn't have much of a workload the first game against Milton Keynes at home. And I said, you know what, I'm ready to go tomorrow. I'm not sore. I'm in game shape and I'm ready to go. So I said, all right. And then I ended up playing and we ended up getting a big enough lead where, you know, he felt like I probably could have used a bit of a break, which having a, I believe it was a 3-3 as well. Having that anyways, it was probably a little needed and be smart about it too, right? Like it's, if we're up a big number, 7-1 or whatever it was at the time, there's not a whole lot of point at that point for me to try to finish out the game. Even though it was a shutout and everything, there's bigger matters than my stats. And I think that's just being ready for the next game at that point. So, and this week again, we chatted after the Milton Keynes. I felt same thing. I felt comfortable enough to say, yeah, I'm ready to play tomorrow and I'll be ready to play on Sunday as well. So it was, we have a good communication, Kiefer and I, with that kind of stuff. And he's pretty open to, you know, giving me the rest that I need if I need to take a drill off in practice or whatever it might be. You know, we have a pretty good understanding on what I need to be able to perform at my highest level.
Vesco, just talking about that little team within a team, you know, yourself and Murph and Dicko, how's that dynamic working out for you? It must be very comforting for you. Like you're just saying there, you've got 3-3, you're maybe feeling a wee bit tired after game two that you've got Stephen Murphy to walk onto the ice if needs be.
Yeah, I think Murph did a really good job in my absence, I guess, the last couple of weeks. I'm comfortable in him. Everybody's comfortable and confident in him playing games for us when he needs to step in and play. You know, we went on a bit of a losing streak, but I don't think there. I can count on, you know, I couldn't even maybe two goals that he'd want back, if that. The rest of it was all breakdowns where, you know, we either a rebound goal or a 2-on-1 odd man rush and stuff like that, where, you know, it probably would have gone in on me as well. So, you know, he wasn't to blame at all for anything that had happened. And so, no, I think everybody has confidence in Murph to step in when need be.
And Dicko, have you ever had a better teammate than Andre Dickey?
Dicko is, he's the perfect example of why people say goalies are weird. Let's put it that way. He's he's something else. But no, he's awesome in the room. He's great to have around the guys. He keeps everything. He keeps it light in the room and jokes around with everybody and stuff. And he doesn't take much too seriously, which is good. Except for practices. I think he might have the most stick smashes on the team this year. So. You know, he's competitive. He wants to get better every day. I think he's one of the first guys out and helping guys when they want to go take shots on a goalie. So, you know, he's a really good teammate to have. Murph as well, you know, like he's low key, laid back, easy to get along with. You know, we have a pretty good duo or tandem, I guess, with myself, Murph and Dicko. And, you know, it's really working out.
Taking a couple more from Twitter. Jordan Wilson asks, you know, what goaltender did you watch growing up that made you want to be a goalie, and do you base your game on them?
My old neighbor used to be a goalie when I was really young, and I kind of grew up idolizing him at a young age, and then so that he kind of showed me the ropes a little bit to become a goalie. Once I started playing a little more, you know, I really, really looked at someone like Marty Brodeur, just the way he approaches a game. You know, he has fun, he jokes around, but at the same time, he takes it very seriously, right? He's always in the zone. He's concentrated at all times, but at the same time, he has fun with it. So that was really somebody that I tried to, you know, mold my game around, I guess you can say, for that aspect of it.
What are your thoughts on Tom Brasso coming in at Sheffield? There's a Vezina Trophy winner, a well-known NHL goalie.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Tommy Brasso, I used to watch him play when he was in Pittsburgh, and he was kind of a big deal at the time. So it's fun to see goalies step in as coaches.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they kind
like
of
Patrick
Waugh. Well, yeah, he's another special guy, I guess you could call him. But no, it's the same thing, right? Mm-hmm. For a goalie to step in as a coach, you see the game. So, but most players might not respect a goalie as a head coach to begin with, just because you know, they didn't play the position or whatever it might be. But we get the game. You know, it doesn't matter if you're a goalie or a D-man or a forward, you still see the game. In fact, as a goalie, you see more of the game. You're almost a quarterback out there. Kind of like I always come back to the example as a catcher, as a baseball manager. You know, they're probably 3/4 of catchers become baseball managers at some point in time, just because they see the game. They you know, they get the pitching, they get the pitchers, they get the batters and everything, which is kind of the same thing with me, right?
Yeah.
Or for Brasso, example, you see the PK in front of you, you work with it, you see the power play that runs, like what works, and you see the breakdowns, you see the, you know, all the systems and everything. So just because we are goalies, it doesn't mean that we can't be good coaches, right?
You've spent just over 2 months now in Belfast. How are you finding it? Obviously, you got a bit of experience driving the right side of the road, or the left side of the road, I should say, when you were in Edinburgh last year. But how are you finding the Northern Ireland people?
Yeah, it's great. You know, they make it really warm to go downtown, and you can chat with pretty much anybody and feel comfortable and not be worried about walking downtown at night, for example, or stuff like that. And I think it goes to show with the fans as well, right? Like you just see how much they enjoy it and how easy to get along they all are. So it's really easy out here.
I was just about to come into that part of it regarding the fans. You've seen in such a short space of time, you've turned into a cult hero for Boomerang Corner. There's quite a few people on Twitter that are asking what it's like to have them chanting your name after every single game. And obviously giving their backing during the game as well.
Yeah, it's it's pretty cool having you know the fan base that comes with the Belfast Giants, and you know, like you said, the cult that I've made since the short time that I've been here. There's a lot of best Kewaunee jerseys out there now that is pretty cool to see, and you know, getting this here, the best go chance from the Boomerang Corner and the crowd, really, it's really fun to be a part of, you know. And I feed off of that. I think everybody feeds off of that when the fans are yelling and chanting. Like it's you know, it just helps us that much more.
There's a lot of Besco maniacs out there. It's become a real cult thing. One last question before we let you go. Obviously, over the summer, we've spoken about your aspirations and stuff. Of course, your aspirations to return to the DEL. Do you feel that sort of progress is still ingoing?
Yeah, you know, I haven't really thought about what next year has in store for me yet. A little early for that still, but you know, obviously, I do want to play at the highest level possible. But at the same time, you know, it has to be the right fit. I'm not going to leave Belfast just for any, you know, any team that's just because they're in the Dell. You know, it has to be a good situation, has to be, you know, everything has to be right for the timing and stuff. So, but no, Belfast it's a really good spot. I think it's probably, I would say it's the best spot in this league for sure. With everything included, with the city, with the arena, with the fans, with the travel and stuff. You know, it makes it a lot easier to show up and want to show up and come back and play for this team in this city.
And with, I know I said that was the last question, but this definitely is. You've got, obviously, you're in the cusp of what is a long road stretch. You've got Manchester and Nottingham this weekend. You've got 3-3 again the following weekend. And that's not to mention the Continental Cup around the corner. You know, maintaining that momentum, maintaining that drive and focus, is it a difficult thing to do?
Not really. Like I said, we take everything game by game. We're not really focusing on the Continental Cup and whatnot. It'll be fun for sure. And I think everybody's looking forward to playing in the Continental Cup and facing, you know, other teams that are in maybe a higher level, like Zagreb, for example. You know, I know I've circled that one on my calendar already. I'm looking forward to that, but, no, it's not too tough to get up for. You know, every game in this league counts for something, right? Whether it's, a game in September or a game in March, it's the way the system works and the table works and everything. It's, every game matters, so everybody gets up for every day and every game. So it keeps it interesting, I guess, where every game is a playoff game. and it makes the hockey that much better.
Well, thanks to everybody out there on Twitter who sent their tweets and sent their questions in hashtag TFA. And Tyler Beskerwani, thank you very much for your time.
No worries. Thanks, guys.
Take 22. This is Jason Taff-Ellery. Listening to... Oh, Take 26. This is Jason Taff-Ellery. Listen to A View from the Bridge, the best podcast in the Elite League.
Thanks to Tyler Beskerwani for that as well. Around the league, that's a few quick ones. We'll start with another one that involves this.
Dops. Dops. Yeah.
Davey singing along in the background. We've not had the Seth one in a while, so I thought.
Me and Seth.
After what he called them last week.
Seth's all right. He's just fine.
The one that we're going to deal with here is the one-game suspension that's already been served, but it's one-game suspension to the Nottingham Panthers coach, Rich Chernomaz, who was not the best pleased with the officials in his side. What was the final score in that game? That was Saturday, wasn't it? They lost 7-5. It's the 7-5 defeat to the Fife Flyers. The video came online. There was a GIF made, and you can find that in the View from the Bridge of Chernomaz taking a stick, snapping it, and throwing it on the ice. Some people might say, David, that he got off lightly.
I think in comparison to... you can never compare apples with apples in terms of stops because they try to judge each thing on its individual merits. You know, I know people have cast up about, I think it was Pash got 2 games for throwing
a water bottle or two
a couple of years ago. I think Ed Courtney got a couple of games. He threw a hockey stick once as well.
He threw more than one.
He certainly did. And I think it was Gampton last year.
Throwing his glove in the air.
Might have given a little finger salute, but then, of course, Chernomaz gave 2 one-finger salutes. So I think he's done very, very well to only receive a one-game ban. Very, very fortunate.
What do you think about the fine, David?
£1,000?
Fine. That's a hefty old fine. I'm sure Neil Black is not pleased about that, depending on who has to pay that themselves, you know. Has that just been brought in this season? Is it £1,000
for the
first? You know, I know there was. There certainly was a fine list. You know, first offence, second offence, third offence, and all definitely issued by the AIHL. Have to look at it. You know, that was definitely part of DOPS last year for their social media. In terms of social media, you know, if you did something social media, it was a whatever, £250 fine, second offence, £500, third offence, £1,000, something like that, you know. So this is the first that I can remember a monetary sanction along with a DOPS thing. So £1,000 is pretty hefty. But as I see that got a GoFundMe page and they've started very well, another £965 and they'll be at their target.
one of the other ones says was, of course, Jay Rosehill, who was suspended after coming off the ice in Sheffield and hitting the curtain with his stick. You know, your thoughts? Did he get off light?
I think he got off very lightly. You know, we've talked about a few incidents there. Obviously, the one from our good friend Omar Pasha getting 2 games on water. So, you know, to get one with the stick being thrown on it. Did I read somewhere that there was a couple of Fife fans complaining because part of the stick went up into the crowd?
I don't know.
That might be something that, well, it was definitely on Twitter, but that might be something to do with there's still no glass behind the benches there in Fife. So, you know, you can't really, you know, that needs to be enclosed.
There is plexi, but it doesn't actually cover anything. It only comes up about the like waist height. It's ridiculous. They passed it on a technicality by sticking really short plexi in there.
Yeah, well, again, it's the most important thing is making
Sorry. Just to interrupt you, is there something to be said about Sharon Mans' passion? Like, we can all say, you know, he's got away lightly and blah, 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 but, you know, we've talked God knows how many times about certain aspects and characters in the game not being there, and then when a coach shows passion, shows a bit of drive, shows a bit of, not violence, but a bit of passion and throws sticks on the ice, that's entertaining, isn't it?
I thought, you know what, it's a very good point. I love that. I love the coach. You know, basically, he's only here, 8-10 weeks in the IHL, and you know, he's basically trying to stick up for what he's believing. I'm assuming, from what I've picked up on social media, that he was complaining about refereeing decisions. Now, we all know that there's a, you know, we talked about Dan Dalton last week. And, you know, he was basically giving us a view with regards to, you know, everybody's got jobs to go to. So it is still semi-professional. They do get paid for it, for officiating games. So, but it is still semi-professional. So we don't have professional referees who are just, you know, living and breathing, being officials in the Elite League. And until that happens, you know, you've got to put up with the guys who do their best. I'm not going to, you know, slag them off. Davey's mentioned on numerous occasions they're part of the furniture. They need to be there. But there is some strange calls that are made regularly above the English border than maybe elsewhere. You know, from reading again on social media, that's what the complaint was from Coach Shernamas. But I, you know, you've got to admire his passion. It's not often we say something positive about Nottingham. But what's that?
You know what? Paddy sent that video on our little WhatsApp group, and I turned it into a gif of him. You know, he was going mental, like smashing the lumber off the half wall. You know, and I tweeted that, and I tagged Toby Craig in it without even checking the game sheet. I just knew there was only one ref who wound up.
Was he on?
It was Toby Craig. And I didn't even check a game sheet till after I posted it. I was unsurprised. I was, and good for Toby. Like, he retweeted or liked it or something. You know, he's a good lad. These guys don't go out there to wind people up or to make mistakes. They go out there with the very best intentions to help make the game happen, because without them, the game doesn't happen. So, you know, fair play. Yes, I agree with Paddy. You like to see a bit of passion from your coach. I like to see other coaches going absolutely mental.
There was on the highlights from Fife, there was a shot that came in. It was a rocket, bar down, great finish, and one of the goals. I can't remember, it was their one of their games at the weekend. I think it was that Nottingham game, but you know, thoroughly again, Fife. That, you know, they went into, they obviously got the game on Saturday night against Nottingham, big win, and then they go down and get a lesson down in Cardiff. But Fife have certainly got to be, you know, talked about. They were on a brilliant run as well. They beat us twice in a row, and you know, they've got some really, really good players, and obviously some really good goaltending until last night when Cardiff ripped them a new one.
Well, I'll come to that in a second. We'll stick with Nottingham briefly. Is the fact that they do sit top of the Elite League, 18 points from 15 games, but it was a bit of a rough weekend for them. They lost in Glasgow on Friday night 6-3. They went on to that game in Fife and lost 7-5. That got, and then with Shernamas suspended, they actually took a 2-1 overtime win over the Dundee Stars. So picking up 2 points from 6 in the weekend says, but they still remain top. But that's a rough road trip. It also shows that despite the fact that Nottingham, they seem to be a bit, you know, home and away, Jekyll and Hyde sort of team, but going to Scotland isn't going to be an easy prospect for many teams.
Adam's talked about it on numerous occasions in the last couple. There is not an easy game there this season. You know, it's the most, I don't want to say competitive, because it is, there's going to be teams that tail away. It happens all the time. But, you know, if you look through, we've beat Milton Keynes 4 times. Milton Keynes have beat Nottingham. They pushed Cardiff close. They beat Sheffield. In all fairness, everybody's beat Sheffield at the minute. you know, there is some Dundee. You know, I can't believe Dundee only had one win in regulation. That's according to the stats of the league has seen on Saturday night. They've only got one win. And, you know, Dundee are a good team.
Yeah,
they're a really good team. And then again, you've got Coventry who are picking up wins. You've got Manchester who beat on Friday on Saturday, and then they're beating Sheffield on Sunday by the Steelers. They beat Glasgow on Saturday. Yeah. So you know, everybody's going to beat everybody in this league this year. Cardiff, you know, they seem to be rolling along. Not very many people are talking about it because they're not sitting on top of the league at the minute. But Cardiff seem to be the team that everybody's still going to be chasing this year.
Well, that's it. Let's go on to that, Davey. Cardiff are fourth, 9 games, 16 points. So they've played the fewest number of games alongside the Coventry Blaze, but they seem to be ticking along very nicely. They are in the middle of a winning streak themselves in league competition, and they were able to take a 7-1 win over the Sheffield Steelers and then a 7-2 win over the Five Flyers over the weekend. In that game against Sheffield, Jackson Whistle, who was pulled from the game early in the Sheffield Arena, was put by Paul Thompson and cited for flu, was pulled from the game early on Saturday as well. The stat came up on Twitter. I'll give Gareth Barton his dues. He said, Jackson Whistle started 2 games versus Cardiff Devils this season, played a total of 14 minutes and 45 seconds, faced 14 shots and conceded 6 goals. Hashtag Rubberology. We're not going to revel in Jackson Whistle in regards to that, because he did get the win the following night. But for Cardiff, you know, that's 14 in 2 games, 14 goals scored and 3 goals conceded against, well, 5 who are riding high in the league and beating a lot of teams. And Sheffield, you can say what you like about Sheffield, but they still should have the firepower to give them a challenge.
Free scoring, mean at the back, good goaltender, and massive size. They've always got good size, and, you know, they are going to be, again, the team to beat this. I've seen you having a little row on Twitter there with the Wild thing earlier on about, you know, their team, despite 3 or 4 of them having to work on the checkouts at Little.
It's tough for them, mate. Listen, these lads need to get 11. It's tough for them.
You know, they're having to work part-time jobs.
Some are doing the double.
Mate, on the Barney Rubble, you know. But look, I've seen one, Joey Martin finishes an absolute worldie. We saw his pass, backstick, bang. And he goes in the second all time. I can't remember who. I've seen Franny putting on who he passed in second place. But, you know, only Big Max up at the top of the EIHL standings for Cardiff now. And, you know, Joey Martin has been phenomenal for them since he came in. They've just got really good balance from back to front, the transition well. John Donovan, if you're listening out there and you don't follow John Donovan, give John a follow, because 100%. He's really, really massive sense about the games and breaks little bits of play down in tweets during the game. Fantastic guy to have a chat to, but just follow his Twitter if you want to learn a bit about Cardiff Devils hockey. And, you know, for me, we have games coming up against Cardiff in the not too distant future here. They're going to be good benchmarks of where we're at as a team, as well as where they're at as a team. They're still trying to completely, I suppose, settle down their game night roster, because they've got those extra bodies as well, and they're just trying to find out exactly what their best lineup is. And, you know, it takes a few weeks to settle that down, and then sometimes the healthy scratch becomes more often than not the same guy, and as they try to settle into a rhythm. And, you know, Andrew Lord doing it again down there. Let's be honest, he's got money to spend, but he's spent it wisely. We talked earlier in the show, Paddy, if you've got the budget, you spend it to the best of your ability, and they're spending their budget wisely. And, you know, they're competitive. They've been competitive for 3 or 4 years now since the move to that big place. I was actually surprised to see their stats in the Ice Arena Wales weren't as good as I thought it would have been. But, you know, moving their scene on Sunday there, that was the first time they moved the game to 4 o'clock, and they got a lot of kudos for that, a lot more families in. And, you know, things are good down in Cardiff there at the minute. Their stats are frightening, as you say. The amount of goals they've banged in there, the least number of goals in the league conceded as well. And they're going to take a lot of beating again this season.
Says,
yeah, agreed. You know, I watched the game against Fife yesterday for the first and second period. After that, it was the game was over. Fife, they scored 4 goals in about 6 minutes towards the end of the second period. Yes, you know, it's difficult to, you know, Nottingham and the Fife game obviously took a lot out of Fife on Saturday night. And then it's a long trip on a bus down to South Wales for the 4 p.m. face-off, as I say. So, you know, they did look a bit tired. Shane Owen didn't have the best game in the world. But you know, there's some. They do have some really good players in Cardiff again this year. I think they're going to be, you know, they're going to be tough. They've got the guy Longley is a great playmaker. You know, he sees the ice really, really well. And I like the other guy Heading, which they've brought in. Ben Blood, the back, he had a bit of a scrap on Saturday night against Sheffield. Him and De La Rosa, I think it was, or whatever. But you know, the additions they've made this year, with the exception, I don't think Ben Blood's anywhere near the quality of Andrew Hotham. But with the, you know, the ones that they have brought in this year, definitely upgrades on what they had last year. So Cardiff will be the team to catch. They're the team that's going to, for me, they're the ones that the Giants have got to beat this year. If the Giants finish above Cardiff, they'll win the league.
I was so close to moving on, but I have to talk about the Sheffield Steelers because, you know, they took that 7-1 tanking. But Wiss got the win the following night, Davey.
Yeah, proving he's not the sieve that everybody has been saying that he is, you know. But you look at the interview with Ryan Finnerty afterwards, and Finner more or less lambasted, yeah, the Sheffield Steelers won, but we didn't put in any kind of, you know, weren't at the races at all. Turned up not ready to play. Very strange interview from Finner. They turned up not ready to play, and it just didn't improve the whole night. Yes, Sheffield had to put them away, and that helped Sheffield, you know, that they're off the bottom. They've started to climb the ladder already, and that, you know, Tom Barrasso's came in there. It's going to take him a while to get his systems into play for everybody to buy into what he's trying to do. You know, he's came from the show, and he knows what he's talking about. You know, okay, he's been in Italy, and obviously being handsomely rewarded. We seem to be talking about money an awful lot tonight. And
it's not about the money, mate.
Show me the money. I seen...
There's your title.
Bob Westerdale's article in the Sheffield Star today where he's saying, you know, Tom Barrasso's here and it's not for the money, it's for the love of the game, but he's the highest paid coach in Sheffield Steelers history. So a nice one-liner from Ball to start his piece as always. But, you know, somebody else said the league needs a strong Sheffield Steelers. I don't concur with that. You know, it is what it is. It's cyclical as well. The Steelers are going through a bit of pain at the minute. People that really hounded Paul Thompson out of the club now are getting exactly what they wanted. You know, it's going to take time for any new coach to come in and change things around. So we'll just have to keep our eye on that. A win's a win. And when you're down there, and we knew what it was like a few weeks ago, when you're down there and you're struggling, any win's a win, you know.
Looking at the league table, an interesting was the Sheffield Steelers have 8 points, and that's from 4 wins. So 8 points from winning, while the Dundee Stars have 7 points from losing. It's a... Just need another one to get that right up there. Well, listen, we'll move on. Two games this coming weekend, games 4 and 5 of this road swing, before we get back for the Continental Cup in a couple of weeks. They are the Belfast Giants' first trip to Altrincham to take on the Manchester Storm, and then they'll go down the road to face the Nottingham Panthers on Sunday. Let's start with a chat earlier on with one of the commentators from the Manchester Storm TV about the ongoings in Manchester and how they're getting on this season. That is Mr. Stephen Packer. Mr. Stephen Packer, how are you?
You're very well, thanks, Paddy. Not too bad of yourself.
Yeah, good, mate, good. The Manchester Storm, interesting start to the season. Quite a few new faces in there, but let's look at your form to begin with. At home, very, very strong. You have quite a bit of a winning streak at home, but a bit of a stumble last weekend away to the Sheffield Steelers.
Yeah, on a bit of a roll at home after a little bit of a slow start. Even at home, we struggled a little bit, had a lot of early season injuries. And as you said, got new faces, got a new line combination. But, you know, it's like we're always pretty tough to beat at home on that small rink at Altrincham.
What about these new faces? Obviously, there's some guys that have come back. I'm looking at the likes of Auger, I'm looking at the likes of Luke Moffat and, you know, Dane Byers. You know, but also, you've brought in the likes of Poulin at the back. Okay, he's had his issues. Roops, Springer is back again. Riley Stadell coming in from Dundee seems to be playing really well.
Yeah, no, I mean, we've recruited quite a few new younger defencemen this year, something that really excited me in the off-season. I've been absolutely gutted the likes of Felix has had to sit out. Hopefully, he should be back in the next few weeks, fingers crossed. grew up coming in, you know, coming with quite a young guy. I think he almost got close to cracking a shot at the NHL, but not quite. And then coming over, he's a big guy, really physical defenseman. Exciting to watch. One of the guys that I quite like watching, just could take care of his own business, his own end, and really suited to along the boards in Ultra England as well. And they say the familiar face is coming back. They picked up where they left off last year. I think it's fair to say a few of the newer guys, especially the forwards, took their time to get going. But in the last couple of weeks, the secondary scoring of the Storm has really exploded, which is good to see.
It's the second year under the stewardship of Ryan Finnerty. Has the lineup changed, or the look or the style of the team changed in those two seasons?
No, I don't think so. I think it's pretty clear that the game plan that Ryan Finnerty has, especially at home, we're always going to play that, be aggressive on our own eyes, play that heavy, aggressive forward check and you know, chuck that puck in down to the offensive zone and try and chase it down and win it back. And, you know, it's, I think away from home, we're perhaps looking to try and get a bit more offense. I say, once again, that secondary, the likes of Richardson, he's a small guy. He's really quite stocky, though, and he's really, really skillful. I mean, I think hopes are he might be the likes of another Mike Hammond.
Looking at the Nets, Matt Ginn, obviously new to the Storm this season, new to the Elite League, but also you've got Henry Passel, who obviously is no stranger to the Elite League. Is that working as a tandem, or is Ginn the clear number one?
Ginn being the clear number one, he's been absolutely outstanding. I hope I've not put the curse on him.
I hope you have.
He's been absolutely brilliant. He's been lights out. There was a few question marks when he came over. He only iced about six or seven times last year. So coming off the back of hip surgery, you know, a lot of netminders have to. And he was highly touted when he was junior days. I mean, I was looking over his draft eligible year, and he was rated higher than the likes of Matt Murray, of course, now at the Pittsburgh Penguins. Mm-hmm. He's a small goalie, really aggressive. I like to be on the edge of the challenge shooter. A great glove hand, and he's so quick as well. He's been a real, real find for us this year. But I've got to say, I think goaltending throughout the whole of the Elite League is possibly the highest I've ever seen. I think even, you know, your guy, he's exceptional as well.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. I think it's been excellent. There's a lot of really good, really great talent out there. I'm looking at the team as well. Is there, you say about Ginn being that aggressive style, is there an aggressive edge to the team going forward? Because I'm looking at your penalty minute numbers here, and I'm thinking to myself, they're quite high for the stage in the season.
Yeah, they are. There's no doubt about that. I think they're a little bit skewed. I say early season, the first few games we had a lot of injuries, and I think there's a little bit of frustration coming in because we had a back-to-back against Nottingham Panthers. And, you know, when you're coming up against a team which can run four good quality lines, and you're coming up against, there's no secret about it, we're a three-line hockey club, and then we've got quite a few guys out injured. We were maybe able to hold those teams for maybe a period and a half, and then a bit of fatigue came in, and, you know, the guys start to perhaps get a bit frustrated. But I also think there's a bit of message sent in there, because it's not only do we have new guys that have come into the club, but lots of the other teams in the league have had new guys come in. So it's about getting that message across, I think, for guys that come to play in Ultra England.
Who's been the standout? Who's been the standout this season so far?
Well, Luke Moffat was in the early games. He left, you know, he picked up where he left off last year. He was just full of energy, non-stop, just plays from one end to the other, 200 feet. And then Mike Hammond, you know, he was a big miss early on. You know, it was pretty obvious the scoring threat that he brings to our team. And since he's come back, he's been lights out as well. But I can't look past Matt Ginn. Matt Ginn's just been absolutely outstanding.
How much of a surprise was it when the likes of Pitt and Becca went back up to Brayhead, or to Glasgow, sorry?
Not probably as big a surprise for me personally that we were able to retain some of the guys. The likes that I say, once again, go back to Hammond, him getting come back up after a career year with the Storm and his exploits with Team GB as well. I we did really well to get him back. The likes of Pitt and Beckham, I don't know. I don't know if I expected him to come back, if I was honest. Whether I want to, that's another question, I don't know.
One guy,
it's hard not to. They put good numbers up.
One guy synonymous with the British game, not so much in the elite, but more, you know, with former Manchester Phoenix and Slyes, is Kieran Long, who started the season really well.
He, you know what? He doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Yeah.
He had an outstanding year last year as well. And once again, he's picked it up again. He's the top scoring Brit in the league. And he just goes about it quietly. There's no fuss about his game. He just gets on with it. And I think a little bit to his own detriment sometimes, I think he just doesn't perhaps get the plaudits he deserves. But yeah, he's been on fire. I think he's something like 13 points in 12 games or something like that.
So this weekend, obviously, the Giants and the Storm face each other for the first time out there in Altrincham. What's the edge to the Storm game when it comes to that small ice, when it comes to that small rink?
Well, it's just that physical, aggressive play, keeping it simple. I think because of the smaller ice as well, we can challenge those teams that perhaps have that little bit more depth than we have on the bench. And it gets a bit more of a struggle on the bigger ice because I think our team is no secret. We're not quite as mobile as some other teams are as well. But I'm looking forward to seeing how we match up against the Giants. And also we've got Guildford on Sunday, two teams that we haven't seen yet. So you start to get a better idea once you've seen everybody.
And of course, you guys at Storm TV doing a great job. You know, you're back behind the mic when you're back in town, and you're doing the stuff with FaceTime Live and all that. It's been good fun.
Yeah. No, we're just trying to bring a bit more of a show similar to the guys at Giants TV. So we have trying to get a bit of Facebook time beforehand. When I'm home, I'm trying to get down to the rink as much as I can on training and doing a bit of the sizz, getting down there, chatting to the guys, trying to get some interviews out of them. And same with the other guys. It's a real team effort. So we've got three guys, which is the commentary, myself, Lee and Simon. We've all got our full-time jobs, so we can't quite commit as much as we'd like to, perhaps. But we're getting there, I think. At the end of the day, we're all like yourselves. We're just fans of the game, and we just want to get it out there as much as we can.
Well, no doubt this weekend, on this Saturday, you'll have a lot of viewers from Belfast Giants fans tuning into Storm TV. The game's on Saturday at 7 p.m. Mr. Packer, always a pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you, Paddy. Likewise.
Thanks to Steve. Yes, so the game's this weekend, Storm on Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Drizzle Dome, and then we go on to Sunday against the Nottingham Panthers in the NIC at 4 p.m. Of course, that 7 p.m. game on Saturday, if you're not over for it, and I believe there's quite a few coming over for this sort of not a double header, but this sort of these two games. If you want to watch that game, it will be on Storm TV. You can catch them on Twitter or look at AVFTB. We'll give the details to that. 7 p.m. on Saturday. Sunday, there's no webcast. They did a webcast for the game against the Sheffield Steelers that sold out, but there'll be no webcast for the Belfast Giants game. But keep an eye on @AVFTB. We'll try to give you as much info as we can. I'll start with you, Sage, just briefly, your thoughts on this weekend.
Manchester's going to be tough. It always is. You know, we've had success here in the last couple of seasons, but they've also, you know, had a number for it. They've got a good team. You know, they've got a couple of guys that can snipe the puck, a couple of big bodies, you know, in the back end as well. Their goalie seems to be decent this year again. And they've got the Paschal as well, as a backup or as a two number ones to a certain extent. But, you know, I think the Manchester Storm again, I don't think they probably get off the start that they were looking for, getting beat on a Sunday against Sheffield. You know, they'll be looking to try and put that right when Belfast come into town on Saturday evening.
Yeah. Davey, you know, the two games, we've three games in Scotland the following weekend, but these two games are going to be difficult.
No doubt. I don't think there's an easy game, Paddy. Stunned the Dundee Stars with only one regulation to win or something. I thought they looked legit good at the start of the season, you know, a decent team. And, you know, There just isn't, you know, Manchester Storm going to be sitting and waiting for us here at the weekend. They've obviously some good results in the Drizzle Dome, and they're going to be a hard team to put away. But the Belfast Giants have to just go in and believe in ourselves. Hopefully, you never know whether we've got some bodies back, and we've just came off an 8-game winning streak. You know, we're unfortunate to lose out to Guildford late at the weekend there. So, you know, we'll want to get back to business and want to get back to the winning ways again as well. So it'll be a good game, and I take it to be down there yourself.
The game is on Saturday at 7 p.m. at the Drizzle Dome.
the Belfast Giants will take on the Manchester Storm at 7 p.m. You can catch that on Storm TV. This made my my wife and daughter coming in from Portugal on Saturday morning. I don't know what I'm doing.
I know that Ryan roll out the red carpet for you if you do make it down there. So
that'd be very kind of him if he did.
If you get time.
No, I'll see how my schedule is made. But yeah, 7 p.m. on Saturday. You can catch that on Storm TV. And on Sunday, the Nottingham Panthers, 4 p.m. That won't be on any sort of streaming site, but keep an eye at AVFTV on Twitter, and we'll point you in the direction of updates. Any other business, gentlemen?
No, not for me. Oh, Davey was going to say happy birthday to somebody.
Well, it was very briefly mentioned in Vesco's interview there, Robert. A little quiet get-together tonight, no doubt. After a long, hard weekend, they're back to work tomorrow. But the boys are out tonight celebrating, I think, Frankie's birthday. Let's see what age Frankie is today. Frankie is 25. Frankie Beauvillier, 25 today. Born in Sorel, Quebec, Canada. And celebrating his 25th birthday, and he's Belfast.
He started to play well now. He had a few games where he was up and down the lineup, and then Adam sat him for the first home game against Dundee in that doubleheader, home and away. He came back in the lineup on the away game, got a goal, and I think he's picked, is it 3 or 4 he's got now, Davey, for the season?
4-4 in league action.
Yeah, no, I do like him. I think he's got
the front of Joel's sheet here. 4-4, yeah, in 14 games across league and Challenge Cup action. But yeah, as lines settle down, and you get to know your line mates a little bit better.
Oh. I'm just ticking off a couple of wee points here. He picked up, he got some new twigs, so that's him ready to rock.
Well then, a happy birthday to Francis Beauvillier. To be frank, for 2025. That's just depressed me. Anyway.
Hockey players nowadays have got a completely new... They really do.
Yeah. Anything more, Davey?
No, not for me, mate. Not for me.
All right, well then, let's wrap this show up. Like I say, two games this weekend, away to the Manchester Storm and away to the Nottingham Panthers. 7 p.m. on Saturday. Catch that on Storm TV. 4 p.m. on Sunday. Keep an eye on at AVFTB for the Nottingham Panthers info. Also, you can catch us at kingdomofthegiants.com. You can catch us on Facebook, soundcloud.com/AVFTB for post-game interviews and the likes of that. We're not on Tinder. Well, it might be on Tinder. I don't know. Nothing to do with me. thanks to Tyler Beskarwani and whoever we have as the interviews. Thanks to everybody there. Simon, David, good to chat to you.
Thanks, Tally. Cheers, David.
Good night, guys.
And wherever you are this weekend, we hope you enjoy your hockey, especially if you're on that road trip to Manchester and Nottingham. And we'll catch you here next time on A View from the Bridge.
Podcast Network.